All right. So I've been reading the Right Use of Will book series since probably about 8 months now. And out of all the books that I've read in my lifetime, these have deeply impacted me in a way to actually create movement within myself for self-exploration, self-discovery, self-help, self-realizations. Spiritual unfoldment, the overwhelming response that my psyche has had with these books has been great and life-changing in a positive way. Not so much an easy and smooth way, but when it comes to the books, which I have them all right here. Okay. The only two I haven't started yet, Indigo and Imprinting, which is book 7 and book 8. I'm in book 6 now, almost finished with it. But I've been creating audiobooks and somewhat lectures for the first book. Right Use of Will. But as I'm in book 6, I had the thought that I'd like to get a little creative, and while some of the material I'm reading is fresh, because I do plan on going back and reading all of them again, but I would also like to create moments within my journey of reading out loud and discussing what I just read today, this morning, or yesterday. Now, others who follow and read the books of Right Use of Will would probably will understand a lot of the symbols and what's being discussed. For someone who has never explored these books. But my main focus is just to share. And there's no format here. I do have some notes that I'm going to share my screen and just talk out loud about what has been read. Okay? Because a lot of feelings have been stirred within me, and I can use these concepts on an everyday basis because the whole point in these books is to create a stirring within the imprints, and some of these imprints are ancient. Have them move so that way space is created within the will. I can consciously make the choice to fill the gap with something other than nothing or guilt or denial or even loveless light. Okay. I want to consciously be able to fill the gap within my will to create space with loving light. Now, I'm going to talk and read a little bit about the fire dragon's force, the mother on earth, into facing her power loss. So this was in part 22. Okay. Now, just prior to this chapter, there was a plan devised by the Fire Dragon, who at the time was the Fairy Queen sitting on her throne, watching the court and all the players. She had reached a point where she was, it mentioned that she was bored. She needed something to stir her fury, her rage. Okay. And all of that led into this elaborate plan that the mother on Earth had created within her thoughts on all the movement that was going on within the satyrs, the fairies, the Ranalokas. So there was all of these power moves in motion up until this chapter where she created the chaos. The mother on Earth created the chaos, but in her fire dragon form, she now is attempting to somewhat control the chaos. So let's read. Here's the mother as she is attempting to go back into the volcano. The mother on Earth reached the volcano, uncertain, but driven by her rage, she entered quickly, not knowing exactly what to expect. She entered into attack mode just in case. She was ready to force the issue of power if she needed to be cut too, because she was so furious with any and all who were in on this plot against her. How dare they question her authority on Earth? So this is the uprising where the fairies, the satyrs, even the Ranalokas on the not all the Ranalokas, but more on the spirit polarity, they were looking to dethrone the mother of on Earth. So after all, she was the one who was here first and had taught them everything they knew about life on Earth. All of them, and not a one of them really that smart either. She was already given them her speech and her fury on the way to the fire seas because she believed every line of it. So in my notes, we can see that of all the fire dragons, her viewpoint was she was the one who was on Earth first and taught them everything that they knew about life. And how dare all of these other players, which are fractals of mother of everything, mother on Earth, father manifestation, even my love and light, spirit and heart. All of these players are mixed up within this happening. Okay, so she had fury toward the treacherous fairy who took her form as a fire dragon and sat on her throne in court. Now, in the book, it talks about this scene. Once inside the volcano, she moved quickly to find her cavern of power. She felt the problem there the moment she approached it. There was hot steam from fire dragon breath all around it. The passageways to it were nearly impassable. She raged herself. Then, long tongues of fiery breath leaping from her throat and mouth and reaching down the passageway, seeking the fire dragon who had dared to sit upon her throne. How dare anyone sit upon her throne in the form of a fire dragon before she had the opportunity to do so herself and show herself to be the one to have invented that form? Inexcusable, unforgivable, usurpment. She is single-pointed at going after this treacherous fairy in the form of a fire dragon who sat on her throne. Okay. She was enraged, so hot it was a mighty flash of fire she sent down the passageway, and a mighty blast returned to her from the cavern of power like a fireball rolling back on her. from her own breath of fire. She sent another blast down the passageway, and another was hurled back at her. "It will run you down. Excuse me. It will run down," she told herself. "It doesn't have my power." So what she's putting out there is coming right back at her. The rage and the fury. Okay. So within the volcano, I'm going to skip over a little bit of this reading. Within the volcano and in the fire seas, the mother on earth, in her fire dragon form, raged fiery breath toward the underestimated alliances of fire dragons that came together as a group in order to end her supremacy of control. So even though we're talking about dragons and fairies, a lot of this can be applied within our own culture and society, right? When we're talking about power over and power under constructs, we see a lot of protest, and we can see where there are organizations that create actions that go against the beliefs and constructs that were already created as a consensus within society. But it's important to look for these patterns, because within these stories, we can apply them to our own experience. And what appears on the outside, we can look for the patterns of these power over power under constructs. So when the group all raged back at the fire dragon and she felt fear and panic, but her fury kept driving her forward with her own rage. Okay, so she's going down in the mother on earth as a fire dragon is going down into the earth where she's more contained, right? She uses the fire seas to release her rage, but now there's an alliance of fairies who took the form of fire dragons down there waiting for her, along with satyrs. There has been a plan to capture the mother on earth as a fire dragon. Okay. Now the group all raged back at the fire dragon, and she felt fear and panic, but her fury kept driving her forward with her own rage. She eventually into deep of the volcano, where she was cornered, overpowered, and forced to surrender by the group. Right? She felt grief come over her and hated the feeling, yet her pride screamed she would never surrender. Here is where Mother on Earth was considered first, before all of these fragments broke off and became copies, which with her rage towards My Love and Light and Father of Manifestation, she has been projecting out, and it's been reflecting back off these fragments. Now, at the time, she did not see this and realize it because of rage and hatred, denial. But these fragments are actually, we'll see later on, giving her what she's putting out. Okay. Now, After she experienced where she was overpowered and forced to surrender, she felt grief come over her. It was just momentarily, because the hatred and the rage was still there. Yet her pride screamed she would never surrender. She suddenly realized how alone she was, or has been, in her court, where she had been so busy hating everyone and misunderstood her pain. Okay. And I'd like to add a little bit to that last note. There was a moment there, looking around in the fire cave, when my light almost felt sorry for her than I ever had. But she had to crack for my light to have responded to her. Therein, she did not crack. She only screamed in rage, and everyone there, and gave them her speech, which they did not respond favorably to. At least she got to give her speech, and a good speech it was, too, covering all her major points, with my light only directed at those assembled, at the ones not listening to her this time. Okay, so the rage and hatred that is being projected out to the fire dragons and the satyrs are actually originally going, or were intended for, spirit. Because Mother on Earth, with her rage and her fury, almost demanded to be rescued, right? Which never happened. And so she held this rage all this time, and these fragments are now, or reflecting it back out, back to her. So the alliance of fairies who took the form of fire dragons, the satyrs, the Rana Locus, all together, who overpowered the fire dragon, Mother of Earth, now had seized the moment to obtain her power, objects, and secrets. I made important points here with the numbers, because these are elements within this chapter that are important. Okay, we can relate and have this knowing for when we're living our daily life. It is not the secrets of the mother on earth, or her power objects, or even how the power objects are used in ceremony or ritual. It is the energy field of whoever uses the power that makes the difference. The most important point of magic is the same power or power object in two different hands can bring vastly different results, not only because of intent, but also because of who they are. What exactly does this mean? Well, if we use the key within this story that the mother on earth, as the fire dragon, held, this key had a lot of power. It's a power object. Okay. Well, now this object, which had more power within the hands of the mother on earth, has been taken from her, but the energy field of who has it and the intent behind it, this power is going to respond differently. Okay. If so much rage and anger, red chakra power and energy is within this object, then if green chakra and more heart-based energy field was to get this object, it's going to respond differently. vastly different results. All right. So the story continues where the mother on Earth refused to cooperate with the Alliance. They are given her the opportunity to surrender and admit that she no longer is in control. All right. But she, let's see. She refuses, right? She refuses. And this brings up another point. Just because somebody has the form of something does not mean they have it or are it, because it is important to penetrate the appearance of things because they may not be what they seem. Right? So the mother on earth has always wanted to be rescued and protected with my loving light. But she is a fractal of mother of everything, which was driven by rage and not receiving my loving light. So if we peer through or penetrate through the appearance of mother on earth, we can begin to realize that she is a fractal of rage from the mother of everything. Now, the mother of everything, yes, she had rage, and it became a fragment which was left on Earth. So this fragment has been playing out while the magnetism of Earth and the mother has pulled in spirits to populate on Earth. Well, when there is reproduction of these spirits and fragments on Earth, then there's just more and more copies of, we can almost call them denial spirits. But based off their experience on Earth initially, there has been a cascading effect of confusion. Right. But back to the story. So the mother, she is refusing. The Alliance offered as a group and reminded the mother on Earth that she is getting what she has always wanted, which is a rescuer and a protector, but as a whole group of fire dragons. So she wanted to be rescued and be protected by spirit. Okay. But it didn't happen. And so, with this fantasy that she has created and this strong desire within herself, it actually manifested, but it didn't manifest exactly the way she intended it to come to her, right? Mother on Earth refused this explanation and said, she did not want the whole group. So there again is some twisted judgments, and the important element here is be careful what you wish for and how you wish it. Because she did not, the mother on earth did not have the insight to see that the manifestation within Earth would play out for what she strongly desired. After the Alliance threatened and intimidated with their fiery breath, lashing tails and claws, they forced the Mother on Earth to say in a ceremony already devised that they were the Royal Order of Fire Dragons. So they've got her pinned down. And no matter how much she denies it, they will keep pressuring the Alliance until she surrenders. Okay? So next, the Alliance had the Mother on Earth perform her last act of royal authority on Earth as Fire Dragon by proclaiming the Fire Dragon who sat on her throne as head of the Royal Order of Fire Dragons. Now, prior to the Mother on Earth as a Fire Dragon, when she created the chaos in the court, she saw one fairy that had form changed into a fire dragon and sat on her throne. That even fueled her fury even more, which kind of blinded her into going into the trap of the volcano and where she's at right now. So here she's having the mother on Earth as a fire dragon is having to hand over her power is what it appears as she's having to hand over her power. So Mother on Earth at first was furiously refused and claimed she is the only true fire dragon and would never give up her position of authority on Earth, and the Alliance cannot take it from her anyway because it was rightfully hers. She said, and I quote, "Power that is mine cannot be taken away." Right? So here's the important element out of that section of the reading was Mother on Earth still had the power to prevail regarding her position as head fire dragon when she proved to them that they could not take on the form or breathe fire without her help. They could not get back out of the form without her help. So she actually had a good argument here on why she should not hand over the power to the treacherous fairy who sat on her throne as a fire dragon. But the Alliance did not give in to her authority easily, but she must make the fire dragon who sat on her throne second in command, with treachery and insurrection still looming all around the agreement. Next, they would let the mother on Earth. So wait, let me back up. So the Alliance said, okay, you can be in charge, but this other fire dragon is going to be second in command. All right. Basically a shadow. Next, they would let Mother on Earth free on the promise that she would declare herself only as Fairy Queen in public and no longer claim to be the Mother on Earth. So here we go with her appearing to give her power away. She can only, so when she's in public, she's in more of a human form as a fairy queen, which was not the, even as a fairy queen, there was a lot of rage, okay, and a lot of anger. So the intimidating factor of a fairy queen in one form, she can keep by sitting on the on her throne, right? But she can no longer claim to be Mother on Earth, which is stripping her of that title, that power that she once held. And initially she refused, so the Alliance restrained her and tortured her to get the revenge they had so long wanted to get, that they so long wanted to have against her. So following up to this chapter, as all of these fairies, satyrs, and Ranilochus, as they had their own points of view about Mother on Earth, even as Fairy Queen or Fire Dragon, were seeking power over, power under constructs against really all of them mixed together, but the focus was primarily on the Fairy Queen, which Fairy Queen did not realize that the everyone knew to a degree that they knew she was also the fire dragon. Ranilochus, they didn't know. I think it was just the satyrs, but let's keep going. So yeah, so they tortured her until finally she lost so much essence in the pain of this torture, and to all the essence she had already lost in fragmentation, she reached the point where she had to do as the Alliance said. Okay. Now, here's an important element as a warning. This is us, right? Let's contemplate on this because we must try not to take on more than we can handle outwardly. We should be careful about what promises and vows such situations may induce us to make because they are more binding than we think, even from life to life, and need removal commensurate to the way they were put in place. All right. So let's not take on, because the mind, right, the mental body, spirit wants to move faster than the emotional body, the will, the mother. It's very important that we realize that we should not take on too much, even though we may think we can. So after the Alliance subdued the mother on Earth sufficiently, they forced her into ceremonies with them, which the Alliance prevailed over her, and she felt she had a disaster instead of a triumph in the place of her dreams, a failure instead of a success in reality. Basically, she's wallowing in her nightmare. She's lost her power. The mother on Earth was now surrounded by copies, all claiming to be the original, the creator of, and the only true fire dragon who could not give back to her the moment of triumph they had stolen. So the mother on Earth now has to sit with herself, claim to be only the fairy queen, no longer the mother, can no longer claim the mother on Earth, even though she is the mother on Earth. She's having to look out at all the copies of herself, which are fragments, right? Here's an important point. What is truly ours cannot be really lost, but it can certainly be expressed as though it is. And the less we know about how it really, and the less we know about how it is really ours, the more convincingly lost it can look. So we need to actually check ourselves. Okay, because the outside is reflecting clues to what we are perceiving from our inside. The way I interpret this is when someone tells me I am a title, right? You are this. You are a citizen of United States. You are a Catholic, or you are a Jehovah's Witness. You're a Christian. All of these accusations, or these associations, are not me. But as a culture and society with using languages and labels, then if I believe I am those things, then that's going to actually create some lost will, which I need to seek and bring back to me. So by understanding our parental parts, capital P, capital P for parental, capital P for parts, spirit, mother, father, manifestation, and heart, and their story going all the way back before the mind was even created, we can train our mind to focus within and have the will vibrate to where we do not fill in the gap with guilt or denial or judgments, and instead fill it with loving light. Okay, not loveless light. A lot of this can be presented to the outside. The loving light can be presented to the outside, but at the same time, we can focus on how our will responds to our thoughts and reactions, which will allow us to be guided back to who we really are, the essence of who we really are. So now the mother on earth felt encircled by a threatening ring of power seekers and did not realize how much essence loss had made her take vows and make promises, but the real power loss was in the loss of her essence. Let's see. Okay. Now there's about a page and a half I'm going to skip over. It's when the there's some talk about the blue chakra and the level of imprinting and the hated fear, the presence of hatred, and how not moving to respond with love, the danger and backlash of the gap. And how blue chakra, which is right above the heart chakra, holds down the will. So spirit is pushing down the will so that spirit can move forward with the excitement and the supposed freedom, right? I'm going to skip over this and get to the point where, as we see in the notes, number seven, appearances may be presented more of a reflection than you may think. And to know, you have to feel it. Okay, talking to second person there, but normally I try to keep it in third person. Appearances may be presented more of a reflection than we may think. And to know, we have to feel it. So we have to go into happenings, which will provide appearances, and our eyes will reflect. But in order for us to know, we have to feel the experience. That's trusting the will, especially us who are more spirit polarity. Which I feel that I am, even though I have the temperament within this lifetime of a lot of earth and water, I have the opportunity to feel more in this lifetime, or let's just say it'll be presented a lot easier for me to feel in this lifetime. So that's something that I am working on, of course, and to actually I have experience of knowing by feeling. A lot of us call it intuition, but really it's the will that's providing the the data for us to feel these experiences. All right, so now that the fire dragon, Mother on Earth, has been somewhat contained, controlled, here we have all the fractals who have form changed, and now, with all of the ignorance and confusion that has just spun out of control from the chaos, there has been creations of form of games and contests. We could even dare to say that the origin of sports and came from this, and within Land of Pan, within the court of all of this confusion of power over power under constructs. The competition was born within the fragmentations. So form change under conscious control that makes this more like taking apparel on and off. Okay. The mother on earth now sits on her throne in public as fairy queen, but does not like how she feels. And it took time to try to restore herself as much as possible. She looks distraught and disempowered on her throne, but her rage still insisted that if she regrouped, she would be able to reclaim not only her lost power, but her lost fire dragon preemption as well. Here she is, fantasizing on taking back what she had at one time, but the important element here is number eight. Not only is it right person and right place and right form for magic to be performed well, it is also right time, which it was no longer for the fairy queen and is no longer for rage as power. This means that even in today's time, that rage, anger, fury, a lot of the red chakra energies will not be will not have the appearance of power as it used to have. Okay. And actually, we know from the story too that even though the fairies, satyrs, and Rana Locus all had their own agendas when it came to power, they worked together and had a consensus where they weren't being completely honest with the other, but they knew as a group they could bring down Mother on Earth. And that's what happened. So, okay. That will be all for today. And that was chapter 22 of Land of Pan. I really enjoyed creating the movement within myself when it came to this chapter because we have to create the understandings that our essence and the imprints or how we are reacting needs to be checked because a lot of what I have felt in the past, which is still unconscious, is a type of dismissal that I have pushed over to the side, and I will react to outward appearances based on denials, where if I can identify these dismissals of emotions that are trying to come through. But if I'm pushing them down with spirit, mental body, then I need to do it differently, right? Fill those gaps, not dismiss the vibration, because when the wheel vibrates and creates space, I have to set the intention to fill those gaps with love. Okay. All right. Thank you. That'll be all for today.